Good. Hey, let's sing. You wouldn't want to hear that from me. Good morning. Good to see you all. Welcome to San Carlos Community Church this morning. We're glad you're with us. Those of you who are first-timers and guests and visitors, you're never a guest or a visitor, you're always a friend. And we're just so glad you're here. And thanks for coming this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, because that's the center always of our focus when we gather together, is the Word of God, to lift up our hearts and our minds to the God who has made us, created us, and offers to redeem us when we come to Him by faith. Galatians chapter 3, it's page 973 in those Bibles in front of you in the chair. Page 973. While you're turning there, let me make an announcement. Well, two maybe, because I think Bob maybe forgot it. But anybody going for mail? Anybody going to the States? Eileen's going out.
Thursday.
Tuesday. So if you need mail out, we got that covered. Thank you for that. Also, on the back of your bulletin is an announcement about a new Bible study that will be starting on Tuesday, September 6th for 8 weeks. It's a Bible study on spiritual living. How do we live once we've been called to walk with Jesus Christ? How do we live in the guidance and the influence of the Holy Spirit? And how do we walk according to God's way and not our own? And how do we hear Him speak to us and guide and lead us? And for those of you who are with us last spring, in the first one we did Assurance of Salvation and Faith. This is the second in that study, but you're all welcome to it. It's Tuesday, September 6th in the evening, 7 o'clock, here at the church for 8 weeks. And we hope you'll come and be a part of that. Show up and you'll be blessed. There's a little work, but you know what? A little work produces a great harvest in our hearts and our lives. So, Galatians chapter 3, our focus this morning is verses 23 to 29. 23. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is nor male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Let's pray together for a moment. Father, as we open your word this morning, we pray that you would take your word and pierce our hearts with it. Father, we pray for an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us today to hear and understand what the Spirit wants to teach us today from your Word. You are precious, O God, so precious to give us your Word. And we're so grateful for it this morning. And we pray that you would just give us spiritual wisdom and understanding to understand what the Spirit is speaking to us in this Word today. Father, increase our faith. Bring faith to us for the first time if we need it. Father, help us to learn to walk and grow in you through this time together this morning. Help us to trust you implicitly in everything, in every way with it. Lord, emblazon and embolden the understanding of our mind, we pray, dear Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. You all know who Michael Jackson was. He was called and is still called today the king of pop music. When he died, he ceased to exist in this life. He also, when he died, he ceased to exist in the life that he tried to create for himself. And it seemed to be a life that was rather fixated on childhood. Michael appeared to live in a world that constantly reverted backwards from adulthood to childhood. And he was seemed to be always kind of just living out of reality with life. It was like he was this real Peter Pan living and unwilling to grow up and transition fully into adulthood. There were some folks that really felt it was no accident that when Michael Jackson built his massive theme park on his private ranch, that he called it Neverland. Peter Pan's home for the boy who never grew up. Here in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29, what we just read, I think Paul is encouraging the Galatian believers to live in the light of spiritual maturity, to grow up and grow into the grace and the wonder and the knowledge and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants them to grow into the realization of what has already taken place inside of them concerning Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. That faith that they've already embraced. Paul says, with Christ, Galatians, you have a new reality. It's not the old reality of a childhood. It's a new era. And by faith, you need to grow up and live in that era. And folks, today, here in San Carlos, we need to do the same thing. We need to grow up into the maturity of the faith, justified by faith in Jesus Christ, by faith alone. Now understand, click that thing. Would you, can I borrow? Thanks, man. See, it's not just the music. Understand that the Bible has divided basically into two eras. B.C., before Christ, which is under the law of Moses. And A.D., the other era, Latin for Anno Domini, which means year of our Lord, when Christ came to this earth as Savior and Lord of all of us. Paul tells the Galatians, you need to stop living in B.C. under Moses, and you need to live in A.D. in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ's coming. Sometimes I think it's just hard for us to catch up with the reality of the new day, of what's happening in the present. Sometime in September 11th, 2001, when the Twin Towers in the United States were attacked and they fell that day and thousands of people were killed because of the terrorist attacks, people lost their lives. And that particular event proves, I think, Paul's point in Galatians. Louis Freeh, who was a former FBI director, wrote a book called My FBI. And in it, he says this, we lived before 9/11 as if terroristic threat was not a reality, not a serious threat, when in fact, all the evidence, he believes, pointed to a very real and present danger. You see, as human beings, we seem to have this capacity to live in the past experientially, like a Michael Jackson, even though that past is gone and we've moved on and grown up and we've changed. We tend not to move as human beings into the current reality and change when we should. Paul's message here is that there's been a big change in salvation history, Galatians. You're no longer a child under Moses and under the law. You've grown up in your faith in Jesus Christ, and now you need to live that way and not tend to revert back to it as the Judaizers who were coming down from Jerusalem were suggesting that they needed to do. Because these false teachers wanted to pervert the gospel and the truth of the gospel. They wanted the Galatians not to experience the fullness of Christ, but rather to go back under the law and under the guilt and the condemnation and the conviction. And Paul's saying, listen, to go back, that's post-Moses. That's B.C. And we don't live that way anymore. We live now in A.D. Jesus Christ. Christ has come, he's telling them. And he's telling us today. And it's a twofold call that Christ has come. It's a call for those who've not yet put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ to do that, to embrace the Savior as Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, the one who's come to save us. And you either enter AD into a saving relationship with the living Savior who will set you free, or else you're always going to be under BC, the law and condemnation. It's a call to faith. It's a call to salvation. It's a call to the experience of God's grace. But it's also a call for Christians to resist the temptation of going backwards into BC and to stop living as if we're still there in that era of BC. Jesus Christ has come. And with Jesus Christ has come freedom from the law, because God shedding His own blood for us on the cross, we've been given a new era, an AD, a new salvation history, justification by faith apart from the law in Christ alone. There's no need to go backwards. Well, let's take a look at these two eras a little bit. BC and AD, if we can gain a little more comprehension and understanding of what Paul's talking about here this morning. Paul writes, look at verses 23 and 24 with me, concerning what I think is BC. He says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came. Paul paints two pictures here about the life in BC, before Christ. He says we were held captive under the law. It's the picture of being a prisoner, in prison, confined, cordoned off, stopped from moving along, around. In bondage of chains, being held captive. And he gives the other picture. The law was our guardian, he says, until Christ came, which is the picture of having someone else have rulership, guardianship over our lives. Now, I don't think we have to spend any time on the picture of the prisoner. We all understand what it means to be a prisoner. We're very familiar with that. But the guardian standing over us, we don't understand that one. We probably don't understand. A guardian was a slave. We have to go all the way back. What did Paul mean? He uses a word here, pedagogos, to mean guardian. Ayos, ayo in Espanol. A guardian, in the old times, in the old days, a family would appoint a slave whose sole responsibility was to stand guard over the schoolboy. It was the slave's responsibility to see that that boy went to school, that that boy did his schoolwork, that he was in attendance regularly, and that he was well-mannered and well-behaved. And that guardian would stand there with a little switch or a little stick in his hand. And as the guardian, it was his responsibility to discipline that boy when that boy needed discipline. If he got out of line, whack. If he was refusing to do his homework that night, whack. If he didn't want to get out of bed in the morning to go to school, whack, whack. A guardian was a disciplinarian. This slave had the job to make sure that that schoolboy matured into the man that that family wanted him to become. Paul says here, so being under the law in BC is like being in prison and being under the guardian who whipped you to keep you in line. Now the question comes, why is living under the law like this? Why is living under the law like that? Because the law tells you how you should live. And it tells you what the penalties are for disobedience when you get out of line with the law, the guardian. Paul says, so being under the law is being in prison and being under the under a guardian. You know what? We've all disobeyed and we've all been under that guardianship, that condemnation at one time. In BC, it's like living in a prison and it's like the law standing over you constantly, constantly rebuking you and punishing you for your sin all the time. And you know what? In AD, even though you may have come to faith in Jesus Christ, we still tend to do that to ourselves. And we tend to do it not only to ourselves, but we tend to do it to others around us as well. We whip ourselves for being imperfect. And we beat ourselves for our failures. And because we do that ourselves, then we go out and we do it to others for their imperfections and their failures. And it's like this boiling pot of misery and guilt in this life. And God never, never intended it to be that way. In the Old Testament, the Israelite who was living godly was not legalistic like that. In the Old Testament, salvation always has always come through faith because the promise to Abraham in Genesis 15 came 430 years before the institution of the law of Moses. It always, always has been about faith in God and Jesus Christ. Trying to live in BC under Moses, when Christ has arrived, is just legalism because it's trying to use the law to save when it was only meant to prepare for Christ's coming and Christ's salvation in our life. And when we misuse the law today that way, it's like Michael Jackson, it's spiritual adults reverting back to Peter Pan in Neverland. Well, if that's what living like is like in BC, then what's it like to live in AD? AD lives not in the shadow of the law, but AD lives under the fullness of the light from the cross of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 24 to 26 with me. Paul says, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. What's Paul saying there? Paul is saying that the law brings us under conviction and guilt and condemnation. But it's through Jesus Christ that we enter into a new relationship with God. It's in Christ that we're sons of God, he says, through faith. So AD is about a new relationship with God. Justification, the word that's so often used in the Bible, is another way of saying that when we come to Jesus, we come to him by faith, he saves us, and we're declared right and acceptable in his sight. We can now enjoy under AD Jesus Christ and the cross. We can now enjoy God as our Father, and we can be considered and called His children, Paul says, who inherit His promises. And because the Holy Spirit comes to that new believer who puts faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have now a new desire inside of us to please God because we've been given a new heart. And we've been given a new spirit by our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, listen, the law says you must. But quickly we find out we can't. But Christ comes and he says, with me you can. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we do and we want to please him and live for him and be his children and revel in that blessing. AD is such a much better era to live in because it's freedom from failure and it's pleasure in doing God's will in this life where we've been placed. It's a new relationship to God as our Father, Paul says. And it's a new relationship to each other. That's what he says in verses 28 and 29. Look at that with me, please. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male or female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And this is the part that I really like. Verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. You see, when we rest by faith in Jesus Christ, there's like this seismic shift that takes place. A new time has arrived. It's not Neverland anymore. We've moved into a new era. We rest in Jesus Christ and we're one with Him. We're heirs, Paul says. We're sons with Him. No longer living in the past guilt of sins committed long ago. But now we're living in Christ and His righteousness for us. It's an AD reality to a new life in Christ. Amen? You're so quiet this morning. Where's my ameners? It's Abraham's land. It's the promised land. It's the place where we can be free. AD is the land that Christ is in you, has allowed you to inherit. It's your home now. It's your family now. It's time to live in it by faith now in the new reality. You see, by faith in Jesus Christ, you have access to Jesus. You have access to God through Jesus. You're forgiven. You're righteous. You're established. You're pure in the eyes of God. You have no condemnation in the eyes of God. We're all one in Christ. No more black. No more brown. No more white. No more yellow. No more Jew. No more Greek. No more rich or poor. No more destitute and wealthy. We're Christians together under the Lordship of Jesus Christ in AD, and it's a true reality. Amen. I love it when you smile because I know you get it. Hey, I have a question for you though. Is it your reality? Is it yours? Have you taken hold of it? Have you been baptized, as Paul said, into Jesus Christ by faith? Have you taken hold of the Savior by faith? Have you given Him your heart? Why does Paul use the analogy of water baptism here? Because being baptized, believers go under the water. Do you know what that is a picture of, going under the water? Death to the old reality. Death to the condemnation and the guilt and the condemnation. It's death going under the water. And Paul says, as a new believer baptized by faith into Jesus Christ, we've died to the old reality, the BC. And when you come up out of the water, it's the new reality of the resurrection of a new life in Jesus Christ by faith. We're into the AD reality. We've crossed over. No condemnation, no guilt, nothing that would condemn us because we're sons and daughters of the living God, Jesus Christ, declared justified by faith in Him. It's the picture coming up out of the water of the participation of you as a believer in the new life, a resurrected life. Paul described it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Come up out of the water. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I can hear your questions. Rich, are you saying I should be baptized? Is this a Baptist church? First, listen. Get the message. First, Paul is saying you need to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost priority. That's what needs to happen. And when you've done that, when you've by faith turned your life over to Christ, then yes, you should get baptized as a public testimony of your newfound life in Christ. And no, we're not a Baptist church. We're a Jesus church. And Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Should we get baptized? Yes. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you need to be born again, born of the water and the Spirit. You need a different life change, Nicodemus. You know all about the law of Moses. You're a teacher of the law of Moses, yet you don't understand these things. Nicodemus, you need to give your heart to God fully and stop living under the condemnation of the BC law of Moses. And then demonstrate that by being baptized. Should you get baptized? I will say, well, emphatically, yes, you should. But first, you must repent and be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, people of this world, people in this life, stop fooling around. Stop fooling around and trying to live so miserably under BC. Stop fooling around, and why waste any more time living under condemnation and guilt and ugliness and sin and despair and everything that the law brings to light in this life? Stop fooling around and going back to Neverland and move over into AD and the freedom and the promises of God. There's freedom for you in Jesus Christ. Move into it. Step into it by faith, by stepping into Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Let me close with this morning. When you travel, as Karen and I do from time to time, do you ever notice all the mechanical voices that you hear when you're traveling? For instance, you go to the airport and you hear, please be careful to watch your bags, keep them in your sight at all times. And I mean, when you're in the airport for, sometimes we've been in the airport 4 and 5 hours, that's all you hear, and you get so sick of hearing that mechanical voice. Please watch your bags and keep them in your own possession, blah, blah, blah. You ride the subway, and it's the same thing when you ride the subway. You come to the stop. Please stand back from the door. The door's about to open. And you get on, and please stand back. The door is about to close. The mechanical voice. In England, maybe you've been there, I haven't. They have an underground train called the Tube. Anybody ridden it? There you go. When the tube pulls into the station, as I understand it, the mechanical voice comes on and says, mind the gap. Mind the gap. Meaning, to be careful when you step off of the tube onto the platform that you don't fall or trip into the gap between the train and the platform. You see, it's so easy to get stuck in the gap. It's so easy that we can say the right things and we can go through all the right motions and we can still feel all the wrong things. We can live in the shadow of self-criticism and judgment and even pass those feelings of criticism and judgment onto other people, and we fail to live fully in the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of you have been born again into the reality of Jesus, but you haven't minded the gap and you're still following backwards into the old era of Moses under the law. And some of you have never stepped over the gap into the cross of Jesus Christ, the Savior. You've never stepped by faith into the one who loves you eternally, who's loved you from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb. You've never stepped into the reality that there was a God who shed His own blood for you. You. He loved you that much, shed His blood for you, that He would sacrifice Himself on the cross, the cruelest, most abominable kind of death, the foolishness of the world, Paul wrote in Corinthians. Foolishness. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it's the wisdom of God to those who believe it. Some of you are still hanging in BC. And you're being tripped up by the law and under the condemnation of the law all the time. And God's yelling down from heaven at you through the cross. He's yelling, mind the gap. Step over into AD reality and come by faith to Jesus Christ. And live in the fullness of that reality, justified by faith, not by works of the law. Mind the gap. Get to Jesus Christ. Live there in the blessed freedom of the cross and don't go back to Neverland. It doesn't exist. It's not a true reality. Jesus Christ is the true reality. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, You have the words of eternal life. In Your Bible, Your Word has said that life is in Your Son, and he who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. God, I pray that all of us would find that life today. We need that life. For this world is Neverland that we're living in. It's not the true reality. Lord, You have an eternity all stored up for us in the heavenly realms. Lord, help us to see that with spiritual eyes as by faith we humble ourselves and cry out to You, Lord, save us. Lord Jesus, lead us. Lord Jesus, we repent of our sin and turn to You. Lord Jesus, we declare our allegiance to You, the Savior. Our Savior of the world. God, we don't want to go back to Neverland, but Father, as we've pointed out this morning, You've made it clear we tend to drift back all the time, just like Michael Jackson did. We become consumed with the things of this world. Forgive us for that, Father. We become consumed with the condemnation and the guilt and the misery that is constantly heaped on us from the law when we haven't stepped into the reality that Jesus Christ came to set us free. Therefore, we're free indeed. God, we long to live in Your freedom and in Your joy and in Your peace in the depth of our being because it's the depth of the reality of eternity above that You have created for us. Lord, You would tell the Galatians later on, it was for freedom that Christ died to set us free. Therefore, don't go back and pick up a yoke of slavery again. Father, help us to move by faith in a conscious reality of You, Lord, into the light of the cross, into the forgiveness of sin, into the freedom from no condemnation and no more guilt. And no more misery. Help us to move by faith and take hold of the One who sets us free, Jesus the Savior, our Lord. God, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us, God, because we're all sin, and we've all sinned, and we all stand guilty before You. But God, thank You for the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, that was sacrificed for our sin. To wash us clean and to remove our guilt forever and ever, never to be remembered again. Lord, save our souls. Quicken our spirits. Give us a conscious awareness of Your ever-present help and presence with us. God, God, guide our minds and our hearts and our very souls with your Holy Spirit to live for you and to declare our allegiance to you in these days, these glorious days you've given us to live in 2012. In Jesus' name, amen.